to Little Big Moose E91 Recruiting Podcast. Brand new month this month, Big Moose. The theme was ways that you could make more money as an engineer.
Not a bad topic.
Not a bad topic at all. As always, submit your resume to goe91.com/submit-resume. We'll look for anything out there for you work-wise. We'll coach you on your interviewing. We'll even fix up your resume for you. First blog I wrote about, getting a new engineering job could be a quick way to land more money. So the main things I wanted to talk about, Big Moose, be mindful of how your resume looks. Because if you take new jobs routinely, if you're looking for stable jobs, that might be tough. But a lot of the times going to get a new job to get paid more is a pretty good route to go. If you work short-term contracts on a regular basis, employees are going to see that you're a contractor and they're going to expect that of you. And this world needs contractors. So companies need contractors to come in and hit the ground running right away. So whether you're looking for a longevity or short contracts, going and grabbing a new job that pays you more is a great way to make more money right away. I mean, it's hard to disagree with me, Moose. What do you think?
No, I agree.
So one thing I did say here in the article is a little example to consider. I was talking about Larry, who's a software engineer. Totally made him up. You're going to appreciate this because you're getting into software engineers a little bit. Larry is a software engineer who loves coding desktop applications in C++, let's say, for example. And he loves it, absolutely loves it. Landed that dream job right out of school. But then about 8 months later, he comes across a new opportunity working back-end data for a website, and the cash is insane. He's making like double what he was making doing desktop applications. So just keep in mind, the longer you spend at that back-end data job, the harder it's going to be to get back into that C++ desktop application job. The example might be a little convoluted, but I'm just trying to make the point that the skills you use and where you use them, that really goes a long way to an employer hiring you for certain jobs. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, what I said, Moose?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, making, really maximizing what you get is very legitimate. Obviously, we talk a lot about it's not all about the money, but we understand that. But I tell you what, especially earlier career student loans can be horrendous, but at the same time, you just want to be cognizant of what you're doing. You know that it is that you are leading yourself. We talk a lot about trajectory, where you want to land in the future. Getting some of this diversity is good, though. You know, get a little bit of diversity, but just remember wherever you get your experience in, you know, that's what you're going to be most valued in. And where your experience is pretty obvious, but it's just important to know.
And you're right. Yeah, we have talked about it a little bit. So staying on this the software theme, right into the second blog of the month. Software developers make a lot of money. I'll do that. So that's a pretty blanket statement. Definitely go do your research. There's a lot of awesome people on YouTube that talk about getting a software dev job. Check it out. But as recruiters, we currently are seeing high demand for software jobs. And something that's really sticks out to me about software jobs is a lot of the time they don't require a formal education. Mm-hmm. They don't require a bachelor's of science in computer science. Rather, these jobs, these companies, they're looking for experience. They're looking for examples. They're looking for stable code. More than any other career, getting your online profile like GitHub. Everybody asks for your GitHub profile. You need to really work on that, like it was your resume. Get examples of your code up there for the job you want to the job you want to land. If you're trying to land, now I'm out of my lane a little bit. I don't know a ton about software engineering, but if you are looking for a C++ job, you better have C++ examples on GitHub for them to look at, especially if you don't have an education. Do you have anything you want to add at that point?
No, this is a little bit sideways from this, but be careful when you are, okay, you're non-degreed, but you're sharp. You've been through the school of hard knocks. One thing that can be a turnoff, because when people do ask for degrees and you kind of come up with a mindset like, well, they're a dime a dozen, don't worry about it. You know, not that you would say that exactly, but you see that, you know, you just want to be cool about it. It's like, yeah, I don't have the degree. Just be direct. I don't have the degree, but I have the experience. I think I can back it up, and here's some examples, you know. So that's just something I wanted to bring out. Sometimes I see that because there are some employers that require the degree, and there's just, you know what? You don't have to like it. Adam doesn't like it. I don't like it. There's nothing we can do about it. But there are many, specifically in IT and software development, where they don't require it. So just be humble about what you know. I think it's a great story that you've learned all this highly technical stuff without going to school. So
there's definitely positions that require a degree, of course.
Right.
A lot of them are systems, creating systems, operating systems, all that sort of stuff. A lot of the more non-degreed or more website backend, handling data. But definitely do your homework. That leads me right into this point. Do your homework. I'm not an expert. Talk to people who are where you want to be. And, you know, make sure you study languages that are in demand. You know, we see C, we see C++, we see C Sharp, we see Python, we see JavaScript, we see Java. I can pretty safe say all those languages are going to land you a position. Mm-hmm. If you start studying obscure languages, just make sure you do your homework, because people only pay for skills that are in demand. I also want to mention passion. If you just think you're going to go be a software engineer because they make a lot of money, but you're not passionate about writing code, that's not the path that you should take. I talk about passion a lot in a lot of different topics, but you have to bring it up all the time, because chances are you're not going to stick it out if you're not passionate about it.
Hey, you could be rich but insane if you don't want to code.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're going to know if you love it.
Yeah.
And then some people just love it. They just really do. If you don't, you know, maybe you need something more hands-on. That's fine. There's other stuff out there, too.
Yeah. Don't just go be a software engineer because you think you're going to make a lot of money. That's for dang sure. So getting into the next one. So to make more money, you decided you're going to go get an engineering degree. So let's play this out, Moose. Traditional route reads, you go to college after you go to high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my experience, someone to do this successfully, it requires a very bright and mindful young person. Engineering school is no joke. So once again, I'm going to have to bring up that passion. If you don't feel the passion while you're going to school to be an engineer, chances are you're not going to be very successful. I'm going to have you chime in at this point.
Yeah, I think passion and a plan, you know, just from the perspective of, boy, going into the mindset that I'm going to get do internships, I'm going to do co-ops, do that type of stuff, because boy, you can spend a lot of money, and if you don't really have the aptitude for engineering and the desire, you need to pick something else. You make just as much money in some, a lot of other disciplines, you know. So, you know, just those two things, I agree, you know, the passion, but also the plan. I mean, you really should have the ability to really at least get a 2.8 GPA. And that's factoring in some Calc 1, Calc 2, Calc 3 differential equations. You're talking
hard. Yeah, I didn't even bring that up in my blog. And that's some real talk right
so,
there.
Yeah, so you know, I'm just saying that, you know, that I right now I'm dealing with some, you know, engineering graduates, and boy, their GPA is really pretty low, and it's hard to explain. You know, doesn't mean we won't ever get them a job, but it's just significantly harder because you got to explain that, you know. So,
and that goes back to having that plan you were talking about. I mean, if you have a 2.3, 2.6 GPA, but you have internships and real world experience, forget about it.
Yeah.
But if you just, you know, tell them that you worked 30 to 40 hours a week while you went to school, it's not going to carry much weight.
Yeah. Well, let me differ a little on that. Perhaps because it comes off kind of lame, but I will say just a it comes off kind of like a lame excuse. Factors of, you know, if somebody is working while they're going to school, that is a big factor. So if somebody's sitting on maybe not a 2.3, but sitting on a 2.6, 2.7, and he's working full-time, maybe as a kid, you know, that's some pretty serious stuff that he's doing, and that easily could make up the difference. So, but
that's true.
Yeah.
And we would like to think that makes a huge difference, but things are pretty cutthroat out there.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't. Yeah, sometimes hiring manager's like, oh, well, that's low. So,
I mean, it is what it is sometimes.
Yep.
And you touched on debt. You know, the best way to go back to school is by not going into debt to go to school. Adding debt brings a whole new different type of stress that you brought into your life, mm-hmm. that you have to cope with, that you have to, you know, deal with and pay off. And then going back to make sure your skills are in demand for engineering. So there's a lot of different paths you can go. Mm-hmm. And you have to, it's about lining up a whole ton of stuff, mm-hmm. if you want to be an engineer. Yep. So like that plan you're talking about.
Yeah.
I wish I would have used that in here. Very good word for going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else you want to touch on for engineering school?
You just mentioned here internships, and I'll tell you what, you know, you invest so much money in your education, right? In the education itself and the housing. I mean, some people, you know, $50,000, you know, coming out is not a ton of debt these days, right? It's a ton to us, though. We're concerned about that because we want you to win and thrive. But I'll tell you what, you think about your internship and the value of them, you know. I would counsel people, you know, like you're saying here, get an internship. That may mean it's going to cost you money if you're having to relocate. But if you're getting the right internship, I've seen some internships for mechanical engineers at Nassau, you know, and they had to go live in kind of a high-dollar area. Yeah, they got some money, but But they also spent a lot on housing, but what they got was a killer internship, and that can rapidly increase your pay upon graduation, you know, and your value. So
we'll move on to the next one with that great point. So this is probably the easiest way that you can make more money that I thought of, Moose. You could ask for a raise. So you're already in a position. Doesn't require much effort. And it could be used as a learning experience to improve your overall job functionality. When you ask for a raise, you shouldn't be afraid to ask for it. And if you don't get a raise the first time, you can't stress about it. So when you're in there, it's about asking questions. It's about asking how you're doing, about asking long and short-term goals of the manager for you. Ask how you can improve and grow. But the main thing about asking for a raise is that you need to be prepared for the conversation. You need to have a plan. So you're going to need to be able to talk about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So that when next time you come in and ask for the raise, you have more leverage about it. So it's pretty simple. This one's a pretty simple concept. What do you have to say?
Well, I agree. You know, one thing I think is real important here is positivity. You know, so you can start off that conversation like, you know, and maybe somebody wouldn't say this directly, but basically give the intent, like, I feel like I'm getting screwed. You know, that you're heading in the wrong direction. Now, that's obvious, right? But here's a way. Boy, I really like this place. I'm really thankful. I hope I'm, you know, obviously you got to know you're doing a pretty good job if you're coming in for a raise. And then maybe at this point, you know, you just really know based off some comparisons you are undercompensated. I know there's some different opportunities out there, but I really want to be here. But I really feel like I need to increase my take-home pay and just kind of see what their thoughts are on that. And then, and here's another scenario. Maybe you're, relative to market conditions, you're fairly compensated, but you're performing very well. A whole approach is say, what, I really need to increase my take-home pay. Are there any additional responsibilities that I can take on? Is there anything that you think that you could suggest to me that I could increase my take-home pay in the near future? So it's not like we don't want to set this up way out in the future, and just see what they say. And then just shut up and let them talk, right? So now you're asking the question. You've already said, hey, I like this place. That's good, right? You're not saying, I'm on the verge of quitting. That's a negative approach, right?
I deserve more money.
Yeah, exactly. I deserve it. Nobody likes to hear I deserve anything, right? You know, and see what they say. And you can kind of gauge the response, you know? And
you could ask that question, and maybe they don't have an answer for you, but you should still be prepared with some benchmarks that you could go after.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the meeting, be like, so can we meet up 3 months from now? Can we meet up 4 months from now? Make sure you schedule that next meeting before you leave that one.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is don't cut yourself short, because if you're valued, right, and they're going to think about it, 3 months from now may be too long, where that might get them 3 months off, in a sense, or a 3 month delay in having to, sure, to meet you. But I agree with that. Every meeting that we have, there should be some sort of objective and deadline, right? So I agree. Let's just say, what are your thoughts? And what do you think we could discuss this next? Kind of put this back in their hands. And
2 days from now?
Yeah.
Cool. So that one's pretty simple. Probably the easiest way if you're doing a good job at work and you already got a job. So this one doesn't have anything to do with engineering. It could, of course, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Nowadays, everybody talks about their side hustle. Moose, I know you have several side hustles. Do you know what a side hustle is?
Side job?
Yeah, side job. Okay. Side hustle. So, do you have skills that people would pay for, even if they're not engineering. Maybe you are into farmer's market and you have a really awesome garden that you want to sell at farmer's market. Or you make really good baked goods that you can sell at farmer's market. Maybe you like flipping stuff. Maybe you like going to Goodwill or garage sales and selling them on eBay or Amazon. Or keep it simple and just have garage sales. Just sell the stuff that's in your house on a garage sale. Maybe you could start your own consulting business. Maybe you're so good at engineering that you could help people's projects, you know, just through your own 1099 company or something like that. Moose, what do you want to say about side hustles?
One thought that I have on this topic is, you know, oftentimes, here's a great example. I know some people that went and got a degree in aerospace engineering, and they're smart people, you know, but also they graduate, they're young, and they, I want to be an aerospace, that sounds pretty cool, I want to be an aerospace engineer. Then they also wanted to realize they wanted to live in this particular city, and there was no aerospace engineering positions at that city, and they want to live in that city more than they want to be an aerospace engineer. They just really, it seems really basic and simple. But your, what you do as a hobby and what you can make money for on the side can be different than what your bread and butter is. You know, maybe, hey, maybe running Creo design software, it's okay. But there's some cool stuff you could do on the side. Maybe invent something really cool, you know, or do somehow use some other skills. Maybe pick up some programming, something where you can get some side jobs, something that you enjoy. So, yeah, I think it's a, good alternative. I think in this vein of thought, you know, as I get a little older, I'm also very reluctant on what I get into because I realize that my most valuable commodity is time, you know. So that's something to really factor in too, you know.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to get into something on the side, man, you better love it, right? Because that's going to be more time away from family and other things. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's always a price to pay for your side hustle.
Right.
But we're talking about making more money, Moose.
Right, that's right.
So I enjoy selling stuff on eBay. I flip. Yep. My uncle has a recycling business that we sell stuff on eBay. I clean from a buddy who has a cleaning business, pick up some of his accounts. Do you want to talk about some of your side hustles?
Well, we do a little, this is really more my wife's, some dog breeding. I am little known fact, which Adam knows, I'm a bivocational pastor. I certainly wouldn't call it a side hustle. That would really be bad. But it is a significant job, and maybe that's what
and I fulfilling.
Hear. Yeah,
and fulfilling in a different way.
Exactly.
Cool. So my last one for today, networking with people who do what you want to do. So networking is a great way to eventually make more money down the long road. But what it's going to do is teach you a ton of skills that you could not have learned on your own. The one main thing that you want to focus on with networking is make sure you're networking with people who are where you want to be. Am I making this clear enough, Moose?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go network with Joe Schmo, you know, and spend a lot of time speaking with somebody who is, let's say, for example, negative, or who has spent, you know, 10 years not getting anywhere. I guess, do you want to elaborate a little bit on what you think?
Specifically what?
As far as making sure you network with the right people.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic. You know, some of the networking can be done on, like, user sites. Let's say you're a design engineer and there's a SolidWorks user site. you can learn a ton about SolidWorks, but here's where you want to be careful, because you don't want to worship the tool, you want to learn. And some of the people on those sites, I find, are so committed to one specific tool. They learn it well, but you don't want to cut yourself short because there's other tools as well. So just be wise about it when you're going in, that you are getting skills that are going to increase your value. And I'll tell you what, you will find some of the smartest people imaginable. I mean, and design software is a great example, where I know people that use the that are power users in design software, mechanical engineering, and people have told them, support technicians, well, I don't think you can do that. And then they go to users groups and say, oh, yes, you can. That's a big deal. I mean, you've literally just outsmarted the support technician for the design software. Why? Because you surround yourself with smart people that just play with it and love it, you know. So I think that's it. And there's a lot of arenas for this, right? Not, that's just one area.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go on LinkedIn and find groups. You can go on Facebook groups and find groups and network. Sometimes people tend to overlook that networking is relationship building. And you don't build relationships over minutes or hours. You have to nurture them, and they take time. And I think we spoke about this before, but when you're in a relationship and you just keep taking and taking and taking and taking and taking, guess what? There's not going to be anything there. Networking is a two-way relationship, and you can't just always be expecting information for yourself.
That's an excellent point. I'd even say it's a two-way, but really, if you focus on just what you do, and you focus on being a giver, kind of have a good heart in it, you know, like,
yeah,
and that's part of just even with work. As I'm connecting with people, I might not, even if it's on LinkedIn or I'm talking to somebody or I'm helping somebody, there may be no financial profit that I see in maybe helping somebody clean up their certain resume. I'm thinking, I'm never going to put this guy to work. But yet I do it happily because I want to help him. And there's something about that type of mentality, that giving mentality, that always returns to you. And people can sense it, you know. And so, yeah, I think that is huge. You want to be a giver. And also, it's a heck of a lot of fun to give. You know, it really is a game changer. When you have any of this mentality, it changes everything. I'm not here to suck information out of people. Now, granted, you're going to get information. But as you're helping people, you're going to be helped a lot in return and in the long run.
Absolutely. You definitely need to give everything you can. Start networking early and often. Practice it consistently. I do know that's one of the mistakes I've made in my life, is I haven't spent a lot of time networking around with the people, and I haven't spent a ton of time practicing it. And I'm playing catch up for a long time. It's not the easiest thing to catch up on. Networking, you know, it's like planting a tree. The seed's got to blossom and grow into a tree over the years. It definitely does not happen overnight. If you're having trouble connecting with someone, if you have someone that you really want to connect with, maybe you want them to be your coach, or maybe they just have a lot of good information, you want to network with them. This will be my last point here. Put yourself in their shoes and consider where they're coming from. Do they have a ton of people breaking down their door trying to network with them? What are you bringing to the table, like we were just talking about? How can you help them? That might not be an easy question to answer, but it's something that you need to think about and actually have an answer to. Yeah. Because if you're just knocking on somebody's door, cold calling somebody who has been networking for years, maybe networking with for a lifetime, they already have those connections. And you have to have a way to break through the barrier. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll leave you with that. And I wish I had a secret pill for you or a secret answer, but I don't, because every situation is so unique, and relationships take time. That's why this is one of those tough pills to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to add on any of my other networking points?
No, it sounds good, Adam. You know, it might be hard to break in with certain people, but if you got a heart to add some value to what they're doing, maybe it'll take some study. Maybe it'll take a really well thought out message. Maybe just take a humble plea. Hey, you know, a very short, humble, and the worst scenario, they say no.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah. Get used to hearing no.
But they say yes, and then maybe it's something that can really help catapult you. And help catapult your career. Is there anything I can do to help you, sir?
Right.
You know, exactly. I realize that this is that you don't. I need you a lot more than you need me. I mean,
right.
I look at your following. Is there anything I can do to help serve you, sir?
Oh,
yeah, very. You've given them some respect. You've shown some humility, and who knows? Maybe just that alone's enough. Well, somebody wants to learn from me. I think I'm going to take this guy under my wing.
Because he took a super humble approach.
Exactly. Exactly.
Might work.
So
it's definitely better than just saying help me or I deserve help.
Right.
Very cool. Any farewell comments?
Nope, that's it, Adam. Sounds great. Just keep working hard. Keep your attitude great. Keep serving people, enjoying what you do. Put a smile on your face. You will make more money.
That was Big Moose, a.k.a. Brian Mossman, recruiter at E91 Engineering. I am Little Moose, a.k.a. Adam Muir, or recruiter at E91 Engineering. You can reach us by submitting your resume by going to goe91.com/submit-resume. I'm sure you can find the link anywhere around. I really appreciate you joining us today. Join us next time for the next 6 blogs of September.